What's the key to being a great dad? Well, that's a tough one.
Well, be their buddy.
That's your answer?
And stay in school.
No.
And don't do drugs.
No.
Just give me the answer.
Oh, God.
Hey everybody, episode 22 here, and it's been nearly or at least a 2 week absence, and I hate it when that happens, but Brian Lipsitz is here once again. How are you, Brian?
Pretty good, how about you?
I'm doing well. I have a lot of crap to say just because 2 week absence, I since I've started doing this, I get itchy when I'm off the air for too long, and I wanted to be on. I had told everyone we were going to be on at least one more time in 2010, and then it became just a big hassle of booking a co-host, and I could have done a show myself, but I don't find myself all that entertaining solo, so.
Well, it's the holidays and stuff, so, you know.
It is. So there's some new co-hosts I want to bring on. I want to get back Scott Toomey, because he's had his absence for a while, but as far as I know, he's ready to start going again, so hopefully that'll all go down soon.
Sweet.
While we were off, though, there were some big things going on, namely that December 28th marked the first birthday for the Geek Generation site. I started it on December 28th of 2000, or I shouldn't say started it, but I launched it on December 28th of 2009. So 28th of 2010 was our first birthday, and coincidentally, on that very same day, we hit 300,000 page views.
Nice.
So I don't know how that is in the grand scheme of the internet, but I felt pretty good about it.
Yeah, I mean, I for some reason thought it was longer. It didn't seem like a year, but I mean, that's awesome. For some reason, I thought it was longer than that, but that's a good milestone, man.
It feels like I've been doing this forever already. It's draining. But one of the other things that people might have noticed that are subscribed to the feed or the RSS feed on the site or anything like that, what I've tried to do with the feed recently, and it's not even so much to make up for the lack of new shows, but it's something I want to just add in anyway. It just so happened that during the time I was doing it, we didn't really do any new shows, but I'm really trying to expand the feed into a channel. And I think I mentioned that a little bit last episode. And I have this feed that people are subscribed to, and I want it to be a full channel that gives more than just this show. So I've put out like four or five minute movie reviews that are real quick. And the other day I put out the top 10 list of the top 10 movies of 2010 in video format. So,
which was cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. I don't know how people feel about all that stuff so far. I have gotten a few comments on Twitter that people are enjoying the mini reviews. So that's awesome. I'm glad people are digging those. The video stuff will come in here and there as I have time for it. Something like that took a lot of time, but for me, that top 10 list of the 2010 movies is something I put a year's worth of time into, because I really this year was the first year that I really, really made a huge effort to stay up to date with what was coming out, so that I would be prepared for this one article and this one video that I'd planned doing a year ago. And it took hours to put the video together, but at the same time, now I'm getting that process down. That was also a learning process for me too. And I'm hoping I can generate more video content now for a lot of our top 10 or top 5 lists, or even just some random things here and there. But that's my goal for the channel right now. And I don't know if people can hear it either. I'm ready to kill the bird that's upstairs.
I could hear her slightly, but not much.
Yeah. when I don't know if people have been listening for a while, when I lived in my own apartment above a garage, every once in a while that garage door would make its way into the show. Now that I'm back home living at my parents' house, I have to deal with my sister's pirate-like macaw that's upstairs. And normally there's somebody home to keep the bird company and it won't scream its head off. But right now I'm home all by myself. And fortunately I'm downstairs, but that thing is so ear-piercingly annoying that it cuts right through the floor. So if that happens during the episode, I apologize, but there's a new Easter egg for our listeners to listen to. Before I kill the bird, at least, that is.
Try to hear the bird, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, I want to make this into a channel, and like you've talked about starting your own comic show, that would be fantastic, and I'd love to get different content coming from all different places. Right now, my bandwidth is only so much, I think. Well, I do have unlimited bandwidth, but I think my hosting provider might get a little ticked off if I'm having all these huge files streaming out all the time.
Yeah,
but yeah. I'll buy like a Libsyn account or something. It's like $12 a month for unlimited, unlimited bandwidth for podcasting and stuff like that. If I need to do that, I'll do that. I want this to be the best that it possibly can be.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good to me.
Awesome. Also, in the meantime, during the break we had, there was this holiday called like Christmas.
Yeah, and, I don't think people have heard of that.
Yeah, I really wanted to do a Christmas themed episode, but we kind of missed the boat there. But in the aftermath, we do have all of our geekery and our Christmas presents. What was some of your haul like?
Let's see. Trying to think back. It's been so long. Oh wait, it's only been 2 weeks.
Yeah, right.
I got some pretty sweet stuff. I got two big like coffee table books that are like. One was the DC Comics year by year chronology, which takes like year by year of the everything that happened in DC Comics from like 1930s all the way to 2010, which is very cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
I also got one of the Star Wars universe, same sort of format. So that was pretty cool. I got Inception on Blu-ray. I'm trying to think. I got something else in Blu-ray that I can't even remember because it must now. I also got they are pretty brand new. They're called Green Lantern Classics. They're a set of action figures that each come with a piece to build a bigger. Yes, so I'm turning 30 soon, but I'm still collecting action figures. But
more power to you.
Yeah. So that was pretty awesome. So yeah, stuff like that. I can't really think of. I'm trying to crank my brain for your stuff. I just remember. Sadly, I remember more of your all the time.
Yeah. Anyone that follows me on Twitter at the Night Angel, yeah. I shared an image of the stuff I got for Christmas, and most of it was pretty geeky. I got a ton of comic books.
Yeah.
I got a couple movies like Pump Up the Volume. I love Christian Slater movies. What else did I get? I got season one of Parker Lewis Can't Lose, which is like the best TV show of all time.
It is.
Yeah, love that. And what did my sister got me Phoebe in Wonderland, which was actually on my top 10 list from last year. So I love that movie. I thought it was really good.
I've seen it.
Very good. But I got a ton of comic books. I got the bag of holding from thinkgeek.com.
Oh, nice.
That's my new work bag. And it's not very geeky, but I got a hyper extension bench for my gym. So, yeah, which I think I'm returning because it's not as versatile as I was hoping it would be. It was like a $70 bench for something that I can do one exercise on. Mm-hmm. I could probably return it, spend an extra $50 and do like – get something I can do at least like four different exercises on, but I'm not going to get into the personal training aspect too much here. that's just something else. But the one thing that still bugs me about like Christmas and my birthday and stuff, I don't even remember when this started happening, but at one point my parents just decided that they weren't going to buy me movies or video games anymore at all. And I don't know why. So especially this most recent year, I kind of tried to plead with them and said, like, they love the fact that I'm doing this whole site and the show and stuff, and they think it's a good outlet for me because apparently I need those things. But I tried using those as a convincing factor to, hey, I'm reviewing all these movies now and playing all these video games so I can talk about them. How about buying me some movies and video games? And they were still like, no, it's not happening. I don't get that. I don't know. But fortunately, my brother and my sister always come through and hook me up.
Nice.
And my friends, of course. So, yeah, I ended up getting actually post-Christmas, but for a Christmas present, I was hanging out with some other friends of mine, and they gave me Little Big Planet.
Oh,
which great game. Game of the Year edition, which I was psyched to get. And they gave me a movie too, which escapes me at the moment. I feel bad.
They're not listening. Don't worry. No, I'm joking.
Yeah, they might not be, but they got me a movie and I can't remember what it was. But it's on my shelf somewhere and I'm looking really quick and I can't remember at the moment. It escapes me. I should have written it down. I'm a terrible friend.
You fail.
Yeah. But I was really pumped about getting Little Big Planet because I wanted that for a while. Even though 2 is right around the corner, I don't care.
Yeah, yeah. But still, it's awesome.
Side note on that, I actually ordered an PlayStation Move and the iPad game.
I played the Move, but I have not played the iPad game. I played the my friend got the Move, and it came with the sports game, which I actually wasn't expecting much, but it was actually really, really fun.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's really good. Actually, it's probably the best. I think they said that's the best Move game out there is the one it comes with. So,
well, one of the reasons that I even bought it is because the bundle comes. It's a $99 bundle. It comes with the PlayStation Move, and it comes with Sports Champions. And it was during the week that I bought it. If you bought it during that week, they allowed you to pick an additional Move game, which is normally $40, and have that included free with the bundle. So I'll be getting all that iPad, Sports Champions, and Move all for $99.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a fun... I mean, there's people that are like, oh, the Kinect for Xbox is much better, but you know what? I liked it. It was amusing, and it was fun for the 3 days I borrowed it from my friend, so I liked it. So.
The thing I like the most about it is the fact that it's on my PS3, and I don't have to get an Xbox.
There you go.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of birthdays and gifts, though, I'm going to be kind of shameless right here. I've got a fairly important one coming up. Kind of a milestone, I would say. I'm turning 30 on the 21st. And right now, I put a link on the Geek Generation site. You can see a little picture of a Batman birthday cake, and it says Rob's 30th birthday. If anyone out there in internet land wants to buy me a birthday present, you can click that link and see my Amazon wish list. It even has my address stored in there, so it'll send it right to my house. And, you know, asking for birthday presents from strangers might be totally shameful, but you know what? I'm not above it.
Do it.
I'm not above it.
And at this point, I would like to plug that my birthday is February 9th, and I will also be turning 30. But sadly, I will not be posting my wish list.
That's what Twitter's for, Brian.
Yeah, I know. But, I was just actually going to comment. Do you ever feel, or at least I felt as a kid, that with your birthday so close to Christmas, it kind of sucks because, like... I don't know, at least with me, it was always like, you get all your Christmas presents, and then, like, to me, it was so close that, like, February 9th is still pretty close to Christmas, so I always felt like, I don't know, that it kind of sucked being, like, although, I guess it's not as bad as being, like, born on Christmas or, you know, near Christmas, but I don't know, I always kind of felt gypped that it was so close, but.
When I was younger, it really bothered me, because I felt like, when my brother's birthday is in July, so it's pretty much as far away from Christmas as you
exactly.
can get. So, he was like, he got, like, almost two... things going, so he had Christmas and then he had his birthday, and I was always jealous of that. But now, as I'm getting older, since my birthday comes and yours is pretty much right in the same area as mine is, I've kind of found that it's almost nice to be in that place because there's nothing else going on. That's almost the post-holiday depression that people start to hit. And then I get to have a party right in the middle of post-holiday depression, and then I have an excuse to have everyone over and have a party that is looking for something to do.
True.
So I think in that sense, it works out all right. It definitely bummed me out when I was younger, though.
Yeah, I think that was me, too. Yeah, it was like, because I didn't get it. I'm like, why does everyone else have cooler like times for their birthday, and mine is like so close, but So
it's also kind of tough, too, even nowadays, just doing it during the winter. People don't want to drive, and they all turn into a bunch of pussies in the winter.
Well, no, it's I can count like the last 3 or 4 years. I think twice my party got canceled because of snow, because you can never predict when it's going to happen. And, you know, it's hard enough to get enough people together for a party. And then, of course, when it snows, you try to reschedule and people, it's like you lose half the people. So
right. It's a pain in the ass.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the bummer part of it.
Yeah. But that's a pretty long intro as far as we've done.
Turning 30. That's it.
I know, right? Geek outs and freak outs. We've had a few weeks off. So what are you geeking out over right now?
Yay. Let's see. There's quite a bit. My main big geek out is on Tuesday, something called DCU Online finally comes out, which has been years and years in the making and delayed a bunch of times, which is the DC Comics multiplayer MMORPG, however you say that long abbreviation. Basically, the game, you know, kind of like a
Morgerburger, I don't know.
Exactly. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm not a big fan of MMORPGs, but since it's DC Comics, a couple of my friends are playing it, I'm kind of tempted to, you know, throw it to caution to the wind and try it. And I'm kind of excited because from what I've seen, it looks pretty awesome. So I've been waiting for that, and it's finally here. So unless somehow in the next, like, less than a week they delay it again, which I guess I don't think is possible considering the beta is already out.
Well, yeah, it's supposed to launch January 11th, I believe. And yeah, actually, the beta just ended last night.
Yeah, yeah. I did not end a chance to play the beta because I'm not cool enough to have PlayStation Plus. But
well, I don't have PlayStation Plus either, but I did have a beta code. I know, right? Well, one of my friends just posted on his Facebook, this is where you can get a beta code, and there's like, there were like 2,000 available for both PS3 and PC. And so I took like probably way too long deciding which one I was going to go for. But I figured I would rather play on my PS3. So, but I can only do one or the other. So I signed up for the PS3 beta key. They sent it to me. I installed the redeemable voucher or whatever. And I went to go install it, and it was a 7 gigabyte install. And I have an 80 gig PS3, and I just didn't have room for it. So the beta ended last night. I've been dying to play, and I never got a chance to play it, even though I had a key, because I just didn't have the space on my PlayStation.
Yeah, that's the only, and I was actually going to get into that next, is that I'm debating, you know, PS3 or PC, and I've heard that the PC is more adaptable for an MMORPG, where like the keys and controller's easier. And most of my friends that are playing are going to be on PC, but part of me thought it would be cool to play on the PS3 until I realized it's probably going to take up a shitload of space. So now I'm kind of leaning towards the PC, but I don't really play any other games on my PC, so it's still like, I don't know.
Well, if it helps make your decision, I did hear confirmation that from Jim Lee himself, that because, you know, I called him up the other night. No, but I heard him say on a show that the PS3 and the PC servers are different. So if all your friends are playing on one, you'll probably want to be on the same one, because if they're on PC and you're on PS3, you can't play with them. Yeah. So if you want to play with your friends, get whatever they're getting.
Yeah, that's what I'm kind of leaning towards. Okay, so that was number one. Okay. Next is a little, this is kind of old news, but it kind of sunk in, and it's just like, that's, I really appreciate this. A couple months ago, DC Comics made an announcement that rising prices of paper and comics, and you know, most comics that Marvel publishes are $3.99, and when you think about it, for people who read comic books, $4 a freaking book for 32 pages that takes you like 5 minutes to read
or
less.
That's expensive.
Yeah. So DC, which I really appreciate, has made an announcement that every single title in their line will be $2.99, and they're not going to move above that. And I mean, comics have been $2.99 since about 2001, 2002, so I give them credit for doing that. And of course, I was waiting for Marvel to respond and say, yeah, we'll match that. Nope, they're keeping their $3.99 for the most part. They have a couple of titles on $2.99. Mm-hmm. But I just think that, you know, they actually have a huge promo coming out now, DC, of an advertisement saying that DC keeps the line at $2.99, and it's a cool splash page of all their characters. But I mean, I really appreciate it. I mean, thinking with, you know, the way the economy is and, you know, people not being able to afford things, I mean, it still does seem like a lot, but I think for the hardcore fans that are used to paying it, they'll continue to pay that. I just think asking for more than that, I mean, there's certain books I've seen for like double-sized anniversary issues for $4.99, and it's just like, I don't know. I mean, when I started collecting comics when I was, 1990, they were $1. I mean, now it's just like, and I mean, everything, obviously magazines are more expensive now. Everything is more expensive, but I guess just for comics, it just seems like such a crazy thing. So I'm appreciative of DC for keeping their line at $2.99, I think, right now. So
yeah, that's awesome.
Let's see what next I had. I know I don't usually talk about this on here, but I'm geeking out a little bit about wrestling because I am attending the Royal Rumble in Boston at the end of the month.
So they're in Boston again?
Yeah, the Royal Rumble will be in Boston on January 30th.
Oh, that's right. One of my friends had asked me to go, and I was just like, I don't know, I haven't been watching in months.
That's the thing with me is, like, I don't really like the product much right now. There's a couple things I like, and most of it's kind of shit. But to me, the Royal Rumble
CM
was always...
Punk!
Yeah, exactly. Without him, I would be like, forget it. I don't care about the rest
of
the
product. Oh, my God. He's the only reason I even want to watch anymore. But
he's so awesome. But
even he can't save the whole, like, two-hour show for me.
But even as a kid, the Rumble was always my favorite because it was just so unpredictable, and you get to see 30 guys. And so I'm excited because I did see a Rumble in 2003 in Boston, but it really sucked because that was the one Brock Lesnar won, and that was when their product they had really won. I mean, not to say their product is great now, but I'm kind of looking forward to it. So I'm going with two friends, and so it should be a good time. So
nice, yeah. Well, I think I'm actually going to watch the Rumble, and then I might watch the product up through WrestleMania because no matter what, I'm going to watch Mania.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's usually this is the time at least when, even if everything else sucks, they usually from the Rumble to WrestleMania, they usually at least have some good stuff going on to build to Mania.
Right.
So.
I might try to do that, and at the same time, I might try to go back in and just be dissuaded. I heard that Punk is kicking some serious ass right now, though.
He is awesome. He's the major heel on Monday Night Raw, and he's feuding with John Cena, and he took over the Nexus. I know this is all wrestling talk, but yeah, he's doing a really cool job. They're giving him the ball, and he's running with it, and it's pretty awesome.
I don't know how he ever falls to the wayside, because he can easily be their top heel or their top baby at any given point.
Yeah, and I think he's really found his calling, though, as a heel. Like, he is just... He's so good. I mean, the fact that he's only been around since 2006, and in WWE, obviously, but he's just so good on the mic that he, like, blows me away every time, and he's so good. And I if anyone reads my Facebook, they'll see how much I'm like, CM Punk. Yep. But yeah, he's awesome. So
sweet.
All right, those are my geek outs.
Awesome. Well, I only have one. I have a shorter list this week. But it's kind of the off season. I mean, TV shows are just starting to pick back up now. But in the off season, I tend to either catch up with stuff that I haven't had a chance to watch, and there's a lot of that. But I've been meaning for a long time to watch Modern Family because I'd heard nothing but good things about it and how it's like the best comedy on television. Da 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 da. They're already in their second season. They were like halfway through at this point. They just started up again, like last night, I think. So I decided, all right, I'm gonna check out a whole bunch of Modern Family. And holy crap, that show is so freaking funny! And
I mean, I've seen an episode here and there of the first season, probably about five or six of the first season. And what I saw, I really enjoyed. I just haven't, you know, gotten into watching it on a consistent basis. But yeah, from what I've saw, it's pretty funny.
Yeah, it's a really, really well written show. They break the fourth wall in really smart, clever ways, and like glance out at the audience during like. I'm looking at you. You see what's going on here type thing.
Yeah.
Really funny. And Julie Bowen, the woman who plays the wife, I guess they all are a family, but they kind of focus primarily on Phil Dunphy and his family. And the person, Julie Bowen plays his wife. And I'm amazed at how good she looks because you think back to Happy Gilmore and she was hot back then. I swear to God, she looks better now.
No, I completely agree. I think she was on Conan O'Brien or something. I saw her, and I was amazed. I was like, seriously? She looks gorgeous for, like, her age, and, you know, she's aged really, really well.
Yeah, and the last – not this week's episode, but the one that they showed before they went on the break, they had, like, this whole episode about a kid's dance at the school, whatever, and she's wearing, like, this dress at the event, and you can, like, see how cut she is and stuff. I'm like, holy crap, that's awesome. She's, like, ripped.
Nice.
But it's a really great show, and I recommend it to anybody. But I think even though it came back last night, I'm tempted. Like, I'm totally caught up at this point, except for this week's episode. I think I'm going to wait till the end of the season and watch the rest of it because I really enjoyed watching it as a group like that. And it's not one of those shows that everyone's going to be talking about to the point where they're going to ruin anything for me.
Exactly. There's not going to be spoilers out there going, you know, this is what happened. Yeah.
Right. And when I have that opportunity, I have actually found that I prefer watching shows in that chunk format.
Mm-hmm. I think it's true because, I mean, no matter what show, I think if you watch them at a clip, like, all together, I think the story flows better. I mean...
Way better.
Because instead, you know, you're waiting... You know, a week in between, or sometimes even more. So when they go on their break, you're waiting like a month. I mean, so yeah, I think it's true that it really is better watching it as a chunk or a group.
Well, that's my only geek out this week. So let's move into freakouts.
Oh, freakout!
What do you got?
This is going to sound really lame and everyone's going to be like, yeah, whatever. But I have a really freaking out about people who join the gym for their New Year's resolutions and make it so I can't go on the elliptical or the treadmill and I show up at my normal time. And I've been going to the gym since last July and July before that. But I just – it annoys me, and I mean I feel happy for the people who do it and stick with it. Then there's the people who go for like two months and then stop. And so for these 2 months, it's going to be annoying as hell to get either parking, A, or B, to actually get to the machines. Mm-hmm. And so I go to a little small gym in Westford that's probably not – I mean it's pretty – it's Boost Fitness. It's pretty small. So I mean there's only about 8 to 10 treadmills and 8 to 10 ellipticals and the weight machines. And it's just annoying. And I know I sound selfish and prickish, but it just drives me insane. This is the second year now where I'm just like I have to almost like plan extra time because you have to just wait. And it's just so stupid to like wait to use equipment. So that's my lame freak out. That was not geeky at all.
No, man, that's an understandable one. When I used to go to gyms all the time, I had the same issue that New Year's resolution rush would come. And then they would slowly fade away. And
yeah, that's what always happens. You know, like I for the people who do it and stick with it, that's awesome. I'm really glad. But then there's the people who, yeah, I'm going to do it. And then they're like, oh, I can't do this. And they stop.
Well, that's one of those main reasons that over the past few years, like for either my birthday or Christmas or whatever, I've been asking for workout equipment as I slowly build up my own gym. Not only do I not have to deal with that crowd, but now it's literally like I open the room, the door to this room, and it's right there. The motivation to go there is not a factor anymore.
Yeah, that's probably a lot. You can just, you know, whenever you want to, instead of, you know, with me, it's like I have a set time, and, you know, it sometimes it doesn't work out that well. And, you know, so yeah, that's cool. My other freak out was the constant, and I know we're probably going to talk about this in one of the news stories, but Hollywood's constant needing of rebooting and remaking everything or adding sequels or prequels to everything. It's gotten to the point where it just seems every day I wake up and I read about another remake or reboot, and it just makes me more and more angry. And I've realized that there are no new ideas anymore, and either Hollywood is being run by a bunch of idiots or something needs to change. Because, you know, I remember the days when, I mean, in the 80s, maybe it's because we grew up in the 80s, but I mean, you know, there's so much fresh movies. I mean, you think about like the John Hughes movies, so many different types of movies that would come out, and they were fresh and, you know, interesting. And nowadays it's just like, okay, what can we reboot that we've already made, or what can we remake with new special effects, or what can we add a sequel or a prequel to? And it's just driving me insane. And like certain ones, you know, they're rebooting Spider-Man, and I don't like that, but I'll probably go see it anyway, so I'm probably not helping. But then there's ones that just make absolutely no sense to me, and it drives me insane. So.
Yeah. No, I totally hear you, but I mean, at the same time, we're going to go over the top 10 movies of 2010 later, and I can say right now my top three are not in that category. They're original ideas, and I think that box office-wise, that it's safer for Hollywood to do the reboot and the sequel and all that stuff, but the movies that are really going to stand out and be memorable are the ones that are original. So it's a weird game to play. But
go
ahead. I was pretty much done.
I was just gonna say, like, with Scott Pilgrim, I mean, it was it wasn't really a fresh idea, but it was from it was new for the movies, and it bombed at the box office because it was too new and fresh and different. And I mean, then you put out like I don't know, any sort of reboot or remake, and usually, like you said, they think that it's gonna do pretty well because of the name value. So
I guarantee you, Scott Pilgrim gets a second life on DVD though.
Oh yeah, without a doubt. I will 100% agree with that. I'm just talking in the span of, like, you know, the actual theatrical release. Yeah,
right.
It sucks.
Yeah, it is a bummer. Any other freakouts?
Me turning 30. No, that's not really a freakout. I was joking. No, not really. That was pretty much my two.
Okay, I have a couple. First of which is movie spoilers. Now, I am very careful on this show to not give away anything about recent movies or stuff, and I even, like, we do the whole spoiler room segment. That's a whole separate portion at the end of the show when we do it, and there's fair warning and everything. Now, social media is great, and I love it for promoting things, but it has created, for lack of a better term, a shitstorm of spoilers all over the place. Oh, and yeah. You have to be very careful. Like, after a pay-per-views on TV, like, even the WWE pay-per-views, I was watching the day after all the time because I didn't have the time beforehand. And I had to set like a filter on my tweet application so that I wouldn't see posts from the wrestlers until I watched it, and then I would bring them sure. back. So it's a whole like game you have to play. But I went to see Black Swan a couple weeks ago, and I posted on my Facebook, as I often do, because, I mean, I'll admit it, I go to the movies by myself a lot right now, and that's mainly because all my friends are really spread out, and also because I go to the movies a lot nowadays, so I'm not going to expect someone to go with me all the time. Sometimes I just have to go in that couple-hour break I have. I don't have time to schedule anything, and so I go by myself. But I'll throw it out there on Facebook every now and then. Anyone who wants to join me, I'm going to this show at this theater. Sure. So I said I'm seeing Black Swan this evening. So it's the same day that this is happening. A guy on my Facebook says the ending of the movie on my status.
Are you serious?
Yeah. And very, very blatantly, very blunt, this is the ending of the movie. Like, didn't say this is the end of the movie. Just said, like, basically said what happens. I'm not going to say it because I don't want to ruin it for other people.
Yeah.
But I immediately deleted it because there were people that had commented prior to that, and they would have seen the spoiler too.
Yeah.
So I removed that comment. I removed him as a friend because that is not
cool.
Yeah,
that's so lame. Like, why would you do that? I don't get it.
A couple days after I see the movie, I'm thinking at first, one, like, maybe he just said it to be stupid. Some people do that.
Yeah, that's
and
what I was
thinking
too.
And then it wasn't the actual ending. But even when it's not the actual ending, if you have that thought in your head that maybe
it's
that's
gonna
what's going to happen,
you think
about it the whole time.
Yeah.
So, and when I saw the movie, I was thinking about that the whole time. Is it going to happen? Is it not going to happen?
Yeah.
So I got a message from the guy a couple days later, and he was like, "Oh, dude, I'm really sorry about that. Me and one of my friends do that all the time. We just say the same line. Is going to happen in every movie," and blah, blah. I'm like, I don't understand that's a joke. Like,
yeah.
I met this guy once at New York Comic Con. I'm not like super tight with him.
Mm-hmm.
And he just threw it on my status. And this is apparently some inside joke with one of his friends. And I don't get that over Facebook. Plus,
yeah, how would you?
Yeah. people so much forget, like, we're in such a society now where social media and texting and all this crap. I was talking to my high school kids about it today, about texting and everything. And I wanted to ask, how often do you guys misinterpret a text or a message that somebody sends you because you're not hearing their tone of voice?
Yeah, there's no emotional, like, there's no emotion attached to it. You can relate it like 6 million different ways.
Right. So it's not like the guy said, spoiler, ha ha, and then said like, ha ha after it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm clearly joking. I don't know if this is actually a spoiler or not. He just said it, and I didn't hear back from him for days, so I didn't know if it was true or not. And I went to the movie with that in my head, and turns out it was accurate. And he was like, oh, I didn't realize that would be the actual ending of the movie. And I'm like, I didn't even respond to him. I'm like, that freaking pisses me off to no
That's
end.
Lame.
I hate spoilers. Like, spoilers to a geek are like stabbing us in the freaking heart with a kryptonite dagger. Like... not to throw in a random Smallville reference or anything.
No, that's fine.
But
yeah.
God damn it. it just pisses me off to no end. There's no excuse for it. None whatsoever.
At this point, I'd like to publicly apologize because, as you mentioned this, I remember in the past, probably, it's definitely probably before I did this site with the teamed up with you for this podcast at any point. I think it might have been like a year or maybe even a year and a half ago. I definitely used to spoil pay-per-views, and understandably, you used to be like, dude, I haven't watched this yet. And I'd be like, oh crap. And you know,
I used to get so mad at you.
No, but I completely remember this now, and I apologize because, you know, to me it was sort of like an emotional thing. Like, I want to say how excited or whatever happened, and then I didn't realize, you know. So you notice I'm spoiler free in all my Facebook status and Twitter updates. But
well, it's a little more understandable with what you were doing, because even though WWE is considered fake and blah 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 blah, it's a live sporting event, and people those things, they happen. Nobody expects anyone to go back and rewatch it. It was just me being the idiot watching it later on.
Still,
but for a movie, inexcusable.
No, that is true, because that is a completely different experience. So yeah,
Yeah. So I was rip shit about that like all week. And that was one of those things that was just lingering with me because we weren't on the air. And I'm like, I gotta say this. And that's probably why it's also like angry now. It's been bottled up inside and waiting to pop out this whole time. But oh my God, I was so angry. So angry. But I don't feel bad cutting him off either because I barely knew the guy. So
yeah,
whatever. But I'll move on. the next thing was actually something that I was kind of irked about too, because I've mentioned I'm a teacher before and we have like over a week off or about a week off for vacation as all students do every year around this time. And you can call it winter vacation as much as you want. We all know it's for Christmas. You're not fooling anybody. But the biggest bummer for me was, every once in a while, I'll preface this. My dad's an electrician. And every once in a while, I used to work for him during my school vacations, like when I was in college or over the summer or whatever. And it was good to get some extra cash every now and then. Mm-hmm. The job I currently have right now is paying me more than any job I've ever had. And I'm a teacher, so you can imagine that that's not that much to begin with. But I'm doing okay. I'm saving up enough money, and I'm better off right now than I have been in a long time. But right before vacation started, or right before Christmas and all that stuff, like the Thursday or something before, my dad comes into my room and he goes, so vacation, could you work Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday? And I'm just like, damn it. Because Christmas hadn't even hit yet. I was looking forward to vacation. I'd worked my ass off the whole first half of the year for the most part. Not to mention, I don't think people understand this about teachers. And like teachers are always getting a bad rap that, oh, you have this week off here and this vacation. You have 3 months off in summer. Let me educate those out there that aren't familiar. A vacation is a vacation for the students. Even though I'm not at school doesn't mean I don't have a ton of work to do for my job. I have projects to correct. I have assignments to create. We have midterms coming up at the end of this month, and I have to create all of those. So I needed my time, not to mention all the stuff. Like, I didn't do the show at all over vacation. One of the reasons I couldn't is because I couldn't schedule one because I never knew what time I was going to come home from work on those days that I was working with my dad. So I had asked him to cut it down to 2 days, and it took him a while to even, like, get that into his head that I really was only going to work 2 days. I'm not an employee. I don't have to work all three.
Yeah.
I felt like I was doing a favor. Granted, I'm being paid, but I felt like I was doing a favor and even working those 2 days because I already have a job that I have work to do for. So I was just completely freaking out about that. And that was another rant that was building up in me in the whole time. But the whole real purpose of the rant is just, I want people to understand that teachers get paid crap for the amount of work that we do. Yes, I'm in school for 6.5 hours a day, and that's my work day. When I come home, my work day does not end, though. Plus, we have the whole, doing this show is a risk for my job. I haven't said where I work on purpose. If I get too racy or something on the show, there's a chance that it could get out there, a student could hear it, it could get back to the school. And I could lose my job on who knows what sort of weird thing, because our job never ends. Our public persona is part of our job. So my job never stops. And people don't seem to understand that. I mean, I'm never going to do anything on the show or on the site that'll qualify me losing my job for that reason. But for how little we make, I mean, come on, give us a break. We get a vacation. The summer vacation is really our only true vacation, but also keep in mind that most teachers get a second job because we don't make enough during our primary one. So
true.
Not only do we come home and work, but then we have usually a second job on top of that. But yeah, I'll stop now.
No, it's true though. I mean, a lot of what you said is true stuff, man. I have another friend that's a teacher, and you know, he's an assistant, and even as an assistant, he's, you know, stressed out all the time, and you know, it's not people think it's a very, you know, oh, just a teacher. That's like, you just get to hang out with kids and, you know, teach and stuff, but
yeah, and like, I can't go in late. I can't stay up late the night before. If I'm not on point, awake and ready to go the next day, those kids will walk all over me.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's just, it's a different thing. It's hard to describe to people though.
Yeah.
That you'd have to just do it to understand. But, I'll move on to my last freakout. getting back to WWE, actually. The one thing I did watch this holiday season, and I actually look forward to it every year, because I really like the WWE tribute to the troops. Mm-hmm. And I look forward to it as like one of my favorite Christmas specials every year. It usually brings tears to my eyes. I'm so touched by it, because seeing them going over to either Iraq or Afghanistan and entertaining the troops and seeing all the troops like saying hi to their families and all that stuff, it's really touching. And WWE has stomped a mud hole into their own most special thing ever by keeping it in the U.S. this year at Fort Hood in Texas, and having half the show being frickin' musical performances and super commercial. And I don't know if you watched it, but it kind of pissed me off.
Yeah, I saw it. It was completely different tone-wise than it was the past. I don't know how they've been doing it since, what, 2003, 2004?
Something like that, yeah.
It's, yeah, completely different. I mean, I remember watching it years, and I did tear up. I mean, Scott Toomey has said the same thing. I mean, it was one of those things, and I don't know what the decision was, why they didn't do it in anywhere, why they didn't do it out of the country this year. But yeah, it was completely different. And I mean, I guess, yes, they still did something, but it still seemed very different, and it didn't seem to have the same message or energy or anything like it did in the past. I mean, in the past, they used to show, you know, clips of them meeting with the troops. This year, they just showed clips of past years, and I'm just like, okay.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
No, and I mean, yeah, they had like, you know, P. Diddy and, you know, Cedric the Entertainer. You know, I don't really care. What was the point of bringing that into, you know, it was different. It was not enjoyable. Now, I mean, I hate to say it, but I fast forward through most of the matches, and I was just like, okay, this was kind of a waste of time.
It was the same for me. I probably watched that whole thing in like 20 minutes.
Yeah, and I was just like, okay, this is, yeah. So I completely agree, and I don't know what the circumstances were behind it, but yeah, it wasn't cool.
Now, I do understand that they sent over Big Show, Kelly Kelly, and Eve Torres.
Yes, they went with Vince over to Ashley, Afghanistan, I think.
Right, and I'm wondering if... So, I mean, they did make some sort of effort. I don't know if maybe it was a financial decision or...
That's what I'm thinking, because that's the only thing I can think of, but I don't know what... Right. I don't know, or... I don't. Who knows? But it was very different. It was very different.
Yeah, but I was just really bummed by that. And yeah. I was hoping in a way that it would kind of re-energize me and catch me up storyline wise, and I'd be like ready to go watch wrestling again. And I just got angrier than I've ever been at it. So,
hey, to join the club. Now, there's a lot of people. Like most of my friends are at this point who are really interesting are just like, I don't even care anymore. Like WWE can screw up. Like they could get like gold platter handed to them and they can screw it up at this point. So
right, I knew when people like MVP and Matt Hardy started leaving voluntarily that there was an issue.
Yeah, the guys are getting guys are asking for their release, and you know it's. But don't get me started on Jeff or Matt Hardy, because I don't want to go on that rant. I know you like the Hardys, but sure, I don't want to get started on that.
All right. But those are all my freakouts, so we'll change tone a little bit and play everybody's favorite game, Top 3.
Three, two, one.
So 2010 has come and gone. There were a lot of awesome things going on in 2010, which leads me to the category for this week's Top 3. So, Brian, I'm going to ask you, and this is probably going to be an overwhelming question, so I pre-apologize. What were your top three geek outs of 2010? What were the three things that, whether it be comics, movies, technology, TV, that what were the top three things that were just like, holy crap, super geek out in 2010 that happened for you?
Oh, way to put me on the spot now, Joe.
Damn right.
It's sad because it's... Usually when I try to think of this, I'm going to think of the things that are closer to the end of the year because I remember them better.
That's the general. Yeah, that usually happens.
No, but I don't want to do that, so I'm trying to quickly think of things that happened, you know, earlier in the year. I mean, I'll start out by saying this is in no particular order, but this is definitely one of them. And yes, I don't want to make you think I'm turning this into a wrestling show, because I'm not, but this was seriously one of my super geek outs. I mean, and it made me bawl my eyes out. I mean, at WrestleMania, Shawn Michaels, if you guys don't know, the Heartbreak Kid, he's been a wrestler since... Oh, God, 1989, 1988, and he retired, and I you know, I've, for as long as I've watched wrestling, he's been around, the exception of the 4 years he wasn't, but he's been such, like, I loved him even as a kid when he was a bad guy. He was always one of my favorites, and it just sort of was like almost like a end of an era when I saw him retire, and the fact that I knew he was genuine enough that when he's retiring, he's not going to pull a, you know, a Ric Flair or Hulk Hogan and come back mm-hmm. and wrestle again. So it was definitely, it was a geek out at the, oh my God, I can't believe it's actually happening, but also a sad geek out at the same time. And so that definitely is one of my top memories of 2010.
I don't know what hit me harder with that, if it was the actual match at WrestleMania or the next night on Raw when Taker came out and tipped his hat. I was like, oh my God.
It was just like, I can't even put it into words. I just was like completely like flabbergasted. And, you know, it's not the same. There's a giant hole now. Like, no one could ever outperform him. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's still, you can still feel it right now. He's not there no matter what they do. But, I digress. What else? I'm trying to think. I have to say, Scott Pilgrim, the movie, definitely, I was so hyped for it the whole time. And I always had this, like, I hope it lives up to its hype. And I saw it and I was completely laughing and blown away the entire time. And I walked out of the movie theater and was like, that was freaking awesome. And I proceeded to see it again, like, the next week in the theater. And I just loved the hell out of it. Bought the Blu-ray, watched it again, loved the hell out of it. And it's definitely going to be one of those movies that I rewatch years to come. And mm-hmm. it definitely was probably, that and Inception, you know, were two movies in 2010 that, you know, made me geek out and was like, holy crap, I just saw something that I won't forget ever.
Right.
So, and lastly, trying to think of something technology or comic-wise. Comics, there's nothing that blew me away, per se. I kind of covered that last. I don't really want to go retread over what I said last week or last time. So, crap. Of course, I'm going to draw a blank now.
I know a lot of people are like hardcore geeking out over the iPad. And that was a big one, but I'm not in that boat because for me, Flash means no buy.
Yeah, I mean, I have an iPod Touch, and you know, I use it for as an iPod, and other than that, I don't use, because I have an Android for a phone, and you know what, I can use Flash on it. So I don't know, nothing. I'm trying to think, anything really TV wise? Smallville, okay. Finale of Smallville, 2010. I'm sure we've talked about it on the show many times, but I remember watching it with Todd of Dangerous Memories and Scott live, and seeing the season finale of season 9 with the, you know, Flash of the Future. That was probably the greatest thing I've ever seen, and I was like, seriously, could not contain myself.
Yeah, that was that, like, pretty amazing. 2 minutes.
So yeah, okay, those are my three.
Awesome. Sweet. I would give mine, but it's going to involve a lot of movies that I'm going to talk about later, and I don't want to ruin the list for those. Yeah. I mean, the list is already out there. I posted the article and the videos out there, but at the same time, those that are getting all their information through here first, then I'll save that for later on. So I think that's a pretty good time to take a break, and when we come back, we'll take a look at the listener emails, go over the news, and talk about the top 10 movies from 2010. So we will be right back.
We all know the best podcast in the world is
The Geek Generation.
But what you might not know is there are other ones, such as,
like, you and me, Hector and Todd, Dangerous Memory.
That's right.
We're reviewing the AFI Top 100, and we're bringing you new episodes every Wednesday. Come check us out on www.hectorandtodd.com.
Do you shop on Amazon.com? Would you like to support The Geek Generation while shopping on Amazon.com? Great. Because you can do both without spending any additional money. All you need to do is visit www.thegeekgeneration.com and find the Amazon button on the front page. Click the button, do your normal shopping, and check out. You've spent no additional money, but you have earned us a commission. Please make this a regular part of your Amazon.com shopping routine.
Hi, this is John Schneider, you know, the Bo Duke guy, or Smallville guy, Jonathan Kent, and you're listening to The Geek Generation. That's not my generation, that's your generation.
We are back, and I normally give the poll question usually after we play top three, but I definitely forgot to do that, so I'll give it right now. Brian gave his top three geek outs of 2010, but there's a lot of stuff already coming down the pipeline for 2011. So I wanted to ask all of you out there, What geek out are you most looking forward to in 2011? Is there a piece of tech that's coming out that you're jazzed about? Is there a certain video game that you've been waiting for forever? A certain movie like Green Lantern or Thor, maybe anything like that? What is that geek out moment that you're looking forward to in 2011? Send those to podcast@thegeekgeneration.com or @geekgeneration on Twitter. Now, before we get into the listener emails, I wanted to throw a quick shout out to one of our fans on Twitter. Normally, I don't randomly do this, but the Twitter name is @HeyThereI'mTori. The reason I'd like to thank her is because I think at least once a week, if not more than that, she is retweeting articles from the Geek Generation Twitter feed. So nice. I just wanted to say thank you for that, because that's how we spread out there.
And yeah.
That, well, for one, I know she's a big fan. She must be, because she's retweeting like everything. But also, that's really how we're going to get new fans and new listeners and all that stuff, is the sharing on Facebook, the retweeting on Twitter and all that stuff. So, I mean, we didn't, with that contest that I tried, the 2x500, we didn't hit 500 on either Twitter or Facebook. So the contest really isn't happening. It just didn't activate, but maybe I'll try it for 2011. I don't know. I might have to set some new numbers because we have a whole year ahead of us, but I do still want to hit those numbers and then go beyond. So, any sharing that anyone out there can do is greatly appreciated. But the last question, and people have a lot of time to have had a lot of time to answer this. Actually, you know what? Before I even go on the poll question, I got another email too, about a discussion we had in the last episode, the whole Mac versus PC thing.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, and it's very long. it comes from another co-host, Anna. She wanted to weigh in on the whole PC versus Mac thing. And I'm not going to read the entire email because it is literally 1, 2, 3, 4 four regular-sized paragraphs and then like three smaller ones. So
wow.
We don't have time to go over that whole thing in this episode. But I can give you the gist of the email. Anna's a Mac user. Let's see. Let me grab some quick quotes out of here. Why can't we all just get along? The battle between Mac and PC has been raging for a generation. The fact is that they both have their ups and downs. I happen to be a Mac-only geek. I even use one at work. I don't even give viruses a second thought. I love the way they look, feel, and function. However, I do admit that PCs have come a long way in the past few years as far as functionality, and Macs have come a long way in compatibility. So the big gist of her email is that Macs have their purpose, PCs have their purpose, but as we continue moving forward, they are converging and becoming more and more like the other. People have said Windows 7 looks a lot like a Mac OS. Mac has done a lot on the compatibility side, where at one point files just wouldn't transfer over between the two, and now you can install Windows on a Mac. So there are some big things as far as just those two worlds combining, and eventually this whole debate will probably be almost pointless, because they'll be so similar that it'll just be a one user environment. But I just wanted to address that because she took the time to write it. I wish I had time to read the whole thing, so I apologize, Anna, but I just wanted to at least mention it because you did take the time. But the last poll question that we did ask was, what was your favorite movie of 2010? Mainly because I'm given my list, so let's hear yours. And of course, the first email comes in from Anna. She said, okay, I saw three movies in the theater in 2010. One, Back to the Future. Nope, that doesn't count. Two, Ghostbusters. Neither does that one. Three, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1. So guess which one wins? Sorry for the predictable answer, but hey, I did geek out over it twice on the podcast, and it really lived up to my expectations. I couldn't wait until July to see Part 2, so I reread the book to get my fix. I hadn't read it since its release in 2007, and I was amazed how accurate the movie was, which, if you recall, is exactly why I was so happy that they were making it in two parts. The fans deserve to have every nook and cranny of that book shown on screen, and it seems that it is going to deliver. I can't wait until July. Did you see Harry Potter?
I am not a Harry Potter fan. I have yet to see any of the Harry Potter movies ever, and not to say that I'm not nothing against them. I just don't have any really interest, and so no, I actually haven't seen any of them. But I have friends who are super, super into them, and they seem to love them, and they like the last one a lot as well. I heard it's very, very, very close to the book, so.
I enjoyed it, and without giving too much away, it originally was the number 10 on my top 10 list, but it got bumped. So It was close. It's like an honorable mention. Actually, in the article, I do have some honorable mentions and all that stuff. But
nice.
The next one comes in from Mike Volpe. He says, to be quite honest, I was not overly impressed by any movie this year. In my opinion, 2010 was not a good movie year. I'm sitting here trying hard to remember the movies I saw this year, and nothing of importance comes to mind. Hopefully 2011 will be better. Okay.
Sorry.
You know what? I had a similar thought to Mike originally, and then when I really started sitting down and putting my list together, there were so many I wanted to include on it and couldn't fit on the top 10. So for me, I thought it was a really good movie year, actually.
I did too. I thought it was, you know, quite a bit came out.
Yeah, there was some stellar stuff. I mean, we could have the 3D debate until the cows come home.
Yeah.
But and the cows would come home in 3D. But it's not even worth getting into it, I don't think. G1 writes in. G1 has quite a lengthy thing here, and there's some interesting stuff here in regards to the last show, so I'm actually glad that you're here for this one. G1 says, best movie of 2010. I have no idea. I really didn't get interested in anything this year. Inception was good to be sure, but I also liked Predators. Don't laugh. I think doing some experimental stuff with the podcast channel is a great idea. I like the idea about doing genre segments. I'd certainly listen to a comic book one, so you have one listener there already.
Nice.
In regards to Batman Inc., he says, I think it's a great idea. You are right that it's not the same old Batman, but I disagree that this is completely out of character. Bruce Wayne is a rich businessman that funds his superhero activities with his company. Why not brand Batman? It seems like a natural progression to me. He could do it in a way where he isn't exposing himself. His Batman don't need to know that their boss is Bruce Wayne. They just need to know that their boss is Batman, the real Batman. I suggest you guys keep an open mind to this plotline. I think it has a lot of potential. Certainly more than some of the more recent Batman story arcs. Batman travels through time. Batman has a son with his enemy's daughter. It's almost reminiscent. It's almost reminiscent of the recent Daredevil plotline where Daredevil builds an army. I don't know if you've been reading it, but it's been really good.
Yeah, it's been good, actually.
I agree with some of his stuff, although if you listen to the comics podcast, they're a big fan of Damian Wayne and that character. So apparently that plotline wasn't all too bad. And the Batman travels through time thing, I think for me, I haven't read it yet. I like the idea of it because
it was pretty good. I thought it was pretty well written. I mean, you think of the sounds of it, like but I mean, there's actually some. You get like lots of the histories of the Waynes. I like it. I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, and from what the writers were saying about it, it's really a story to get at the core of Bruce Wayne and what he is and what he can do. Like, what happens if he's really taken out of his element and he has to rely on
it
what
showed
he knows.
That he really is the world's greatest detective the way through. You know, through time even. So, yeah.
Right. So for me, that's a really cool concept. I'm going to continue and keep my hatred for the Batman Inc. thing.
I pretty much agree with you. Until I see something different, I can't. That's my opinion. I think it's out of character, but.
Yeah. See, I see no problem with branding Batman.
No.
I think the franchising idea is a really cool idea. I think it should be done more like a Batman-branded Justice League, though. I don't want to see more than one person under the cape and cowl. I want maybe Huntress going out with a Batman emblem on her belt, or like what they're talking to some dude in Japan already. Like, I'm sure a lot of these guys have their own identities. Just brand them. Like, stick that Batman logo on them somewhere, which basically tells people, I'm a part of this team. You mess with me, you mess with them. And then they all report back to Bruce. I have no problem with that. That's an awesome idea.
Yeah, but, I mean, not to interject, but I mean, just last night I actually happened to read the second issue of Batman Inc. And it was better than the first issue, but I mean, like, the whole thing was Batman and Catwoman are in Japan, and he meets this Japanese superhero who's sort of got, like, a Batman-type thing to him. And, you know, at the end of the issue, you find out that Batman has persuaded the superhero to fake his own death, and then at the end you see he has become the Batman of Japan now, and I'm just like, really?
Yeah. I don't like that.
Yeah, so that, I mean, that's, until I see something completely, you know, good, I mean, I'm still keeping up with it. I'm not like trashing it, but I don't see, I'll give it a couple more months, but I don't think I'm gonna be along for the ride too much longer.
I haven't even started reading it, but I'm gonna go ahead and predict what is going to happen at some point.
Okay.
And I hinted at it a little bit when we were talking about it before, but one of these guys is going rogue.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They're going to learn a lot. Yeah. They're going to learn way too much than they should know, than Bruce would normally ever trust with anybody. But because he's doing this whole franchising thing, he's going to be lazy, and he's going to slack on this because he's got too much on his plate. He can't control all these guys. One of these guys is going rogue with too much information, and he's going to use it to start taking apart Batman Inc. piece by piece.
That would actually be kind of cool. I kind of like that idea.
I think that's a good idea. Yeah. I think that's the only direction they can go with this to end it in a way where it's going to be interesting, because they can't do this forever. This is a horrible thing to keep up. So if this was like a year-long thing, maybe, where eventually this is what happens, fine. But if this is the direction we're moving in and keeping it in, no. Bad. And I still don't like the Bruce exposing himself thing.
No. And they make you think this is going to be how it's going to be forever, but I'm pretty sure it's like a 1 to 2 year thing where then they're going to, at the end, going to, you know, make everything back to normal. I would hope.
Right. Well, that's what people want in a way. Yeah. And even Jim Lee said it himself when he was talking about Wonder Woman and the redesign. Part of the reason you make a big change to a character like this is just to make headlines and to get people interested again. And then you slowly work it back to where it was. So Superman dying, big deal, came back. Batman's back being broken, big change, came back. Bruce Wayne, RIP, traveling through time, battle for the cowl, slowly coming back. It's always coming back to what the fans actually want. And Wonder Woman 2, the big costume change, he's even said, this is temporary.
Yeah.
Chances are she's slowly going to start coming back to what we know. So
it's funny, though, because fanboys, comic fanboys, at least I think, are not – I'm stereotyping all of them, but some of them are pretty – you know, the hardcore ones are so wishy-washy where they're like, we want – they complain if everything stays the same, but then if you start changing something, then they bitch about there's too much change, so you can never really please everyone. So
you can't.
No. So –
But G1 does go on a little bit more to say, on the list overall, in regards to the list that you gave, I know that Brian had a little disclaimer about only picking books from Marvel or DC, but I'd like to at least add one indie book to the list, Boom Comics Irredeemable. I know I mentioned it to you once before, and I'm guessing you haven't read it yet, so I'd like to make a gentleman's wager with you, slaps white glove in the face. G1 actually made a donation. He said, I've made a donation to your site equal to the cost of the first graphic novel. Use that money to buy the book and read it. You have no excuse. If it's not one of the best books you've read, then you've lost nothing. Man up. So, you know what? Challenge accepted, G1. I will take the money that you donated. I will buy Irredeemable. I will read it. And I will report back either on the site, on the show, well, definitely on the show, but maybe the site as well. And you're right. I have no excuse now. He laid down the money and the challenge. I have to do it. That's one way to do it. If you want to donate, then hey. If you feel justified in throwing a gauntlet at my face and making a donation, I'll take it. Have you read Irredeemable?
No, I have not, but I have actually heard really good things about it. I know that sounds like a cop-out, but no, I have heard good things about it. I just, you know, I haven't gotten around to reading it. It's on my list of things to read that are outside Marvel DC.
So well, then after I buy it, I will throw it your way so we can get an accurate assessment of it. How about that?
Sweet.
Okay. The last one comes in from superfan Chris Tong, who says simply, Inception, must-own Blu-ray, lengthy but worth every minute of it.
Agreed. It's a little...
And whether people have forgotten at this point, the question was the best movie of 2010, or what was your favorite movie of 2010? Because we did go into a bit of a tangent there, but Chris Tong likes Inception. Sorry, go ahead.
No, sorry, I was just going to say, it is a little rewatching is a little overly long the second or third time you watch it, but
we're at an hour already here. Holy crap! And we haven't even gotten into news, but it is time for news. Top story this week is a breaking one for today. It originally wasn't even on my newscast, but I had to throw it in. Star Wars The Complete Saga is finally coming to Blu-ray. Woo! Lucasfilm, yes, hell yeah. Lucasfilm has announced that Star Wars The Complete Saga will be available on Blu-ray this September. The 9-disc set will feature all 6 live-action Star Wars feature films utilizing the highest possible picture and audio presentation, along with 3 additional discs and more than 30 hours of extensive special features, including never-before-seen deleted and alternate scenes, an exploration of the exclusive Star Wars archives, and much more. Alternatively, you can buy either the original trilogy or the prequel trilogy in separate Blu-ray sets.
Shit, I'd still buy all. I'd buy the whole set, even though I'm not a big fan of the prequels. You got to have them all.
Yeah, and I took a look at the price points. The press release I said was much higher than what you can pre-order right now on Amazon. And let me see. Yeah, the individual trilogies, the prequel trilogy and the original trilogy, are both $45 to pre-order on Amazon, which is not bad at all.
Oh, not at all.
If you buy the complete saga, all six movies, 9 discs total with those 3 additional discs, that comes out to $90. So if you get that...
sold.
Yeah. Actually, no. Yeah. It was $89.99. So it's the same as the separate ones together, but you get the full package and you get those 3 extra discs that I believe are not included
separate
ones. And the price point on the press release was like $130,
$140 for
the saga.
So
the $90 on Amazon is an awesome deal. I will put links of those up on the site. I'll post an article. I mean, I literally just wrote this down before going on the air, so I will get an article out there that has the pre-order links. So
if you want
to, awesome. If you guys want to pre-order through us and earn us a commission too, I appreciate that. So yeah, I'll get that out there. But I'm freaking pumped.
I am so excited. This is probably this is bummed. I, you know, as much as people shit on it, you know, Star Wars is the cool thing to shit on nowadays. I don't care. I'll still buy it and enjoy it, and I can't wait.
Yeah, they can water it down as much as they want in other media. Yeah. I will always come back to what I love about Star Wars.
Yeah.
And I will watch the movies. Even the prequels. You know what? Screw all the naysayers. Sure, they weren't up to par with the original. What was going to be?
Yeah, that's the thing. You have such high expectations, you can't match anything that's going to, you know, you never can't please everyone anyways. So.
Right. Aside from Vader getting up and screaming no at the end of episode 3, I will absolutely watch the prequels again. So I will buy the complete saga and be happy with it.
I agree, sir.
Next story is one I am thrilled to report because Stan Lee finally gets a star on the Walk of Fame. Thank God. Superhero creator Stan Lee finally got a star in Hollywood's Walk of Fame on Tuesday, a week after his 88th birthday. Lee jokingly asked why he had to wait 50 years after the first star was awarded and 70 years after his comic book career began. I do have a quick clip from CNN. They did an interview with Stan Lee. I apologize, it sounds a little choppy, but that's the way CNN edited it, so I could do a better job, but here you go.
Yeah, it's very exciting. I'm getting a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. I never thought it would happen, and it's still hard to believe, but it sounds great. What took them so long with me? I'm pretty proud of the fact that some of the stories that I wrote so many years ago are still being read and hopefully enjoyed by the public, and people are making motion pictures based on them, and television series, and even a Broadway show, which it's taking a little while to get started, but it's in production. Yeah, I guess Spider-Man is my favorite because he's the most popular and he's known and loved worldwide. But I really love them all, and whichever one I was writing at the moment, that was my favorite.
So yeah, that's big news. I love Stan Lee, and I love the fact that he's going to be on the Walk of Fame, even if it is what it is. I mean, I've heard all the talk of people having, you have to pay for your own star and pay to have it cleaned annually and all that stuff. But you know what? Stan Lee deserves it.
He does.
I'm glad he's there.
I agree.
I'm going to have to go back out to Hollywood at some point. The first time I was there, I took pictures of like all the people that I saw that I was like, oh my God, Patrick Stewart's star and The Simpsons star. And now I'm going to take a picture of Stan Lee's star too.
Nice.
Love it. Next story, X-Men Destiny, first details. There were a couple of teaser trailers that have come out from, I think, starting at like San Diego Comic-Con. And then there was another one at New York Comic-Con. And really, we have no information on this game yet, but we're finally starting to get some details on it and what it's going to be about. The tone of the game is said to be, quote, dark, mature, and intense, striving towards an adult feel, but a mature rating is said to not be likely. The game presents the player with frozen in time decision moments, indicating it's time for players to make a big choice. That sounds like Infamous to me. The first big choice in the game allows you to pick your power archetype, ranging from being able to manipulate matter and your body mass, energy projection, or a third one that was kept a secret. The game allows you to decide who is a friend or foe in the X-Men universe. There were some other things thrown out there, other details that I put in an article that will go up soon as well, but I think it's basically going to end up a lot like I anticipated it would be. Of you're an original mutant with whatever powers you choose, and you battle either against or with the X-Men and choose your destiny, hence the name of the game, as you go through. What do you think about that?
I think it should be interesting. I mean, the X-Men game's been around for so long, it's going to be hard for them to do something completely different, but I like what I hear so far. So
yeah, I think it's something. I mean, as much as you love controlling Wolverine or Cyclops or nobody likes using Dazzler, but it's something different. So who knows?
Yeah.
And the whole choosing good or bad is like the fad lately. So.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's
all those morality games like Fallout and Infamous and all that stuff. Let's see. This one's a shocker. This one just blew me away. Miramax sequels are on the way. What the crap? It has been announced that Miramax and the Weinstein Company have forged an agreement to produce sequels to some of Miramax's biggest and most popular films, with sequels to the dark comedy Bad Santa, the poker drama Rounders, and the Oscar-winning Shakespeare in Love. The new alliance will also work on creating potential television shows and special products for home entertainment, which could essentially mean straight-to-video spin-offs of other Miramax films. Ugh. Shoot me now.
Yes, Badder Santa, or
I know
Rounders 2.
Rounders? How long ago did Rounders come out?
Like a decade ago, more. Maybe 1995.
And who's clamoring for a sequel?
I have no idea. And like Shakespeare in Love, Part 2. Shakespeare continues. Ugh. I have no idea.
Why? This goes along with your whole freak out of just this is
yeah,
stupid.
Yeah, that's just what I was just like, you got to be kidding me.
Why do anything original? We'll just take everything we did. You know, because Miramax was doing so well financially that we're just going to bring back all those franchises that were making them a ton of money.
Yeah, seriously.
Ugh. Horrible idea. Yep. Let's see. Ubisoft announces Animus Project Update 2.0. Right on the tail of Animus Project Update 1.0, Ubisoft has announced that Animus Project Update 2.0 will be available in January for Assassin's Creed Brotherhood. This next free update includes a brand new game mode and brand new map for Brotherhood's multiplayer. The Pienza map provides the perfect free-running playground where predators and targets can blend and disappear. In the new Chest Capture multiplayer mode, two teams comprised of three players each partner with fellow Templars to either defend or capture chests. Also included is the new Templar score feature to reward diligent work by Abstergo recruits. Now, for those unfamiliar to the Assassin's Creed Brotherhood game, don't listen to this because you don't care. But for those of us that love Brotherhood and enjoying playing it, even the multiplayer, I'm pumped there's going to be a new map. I'm very pumped there's going to be a new game mode because, honestly, I love playing it, but I need a little variety. And I think the more or less this chest mode, which is basically capture the flag, as every multiplayer game has, is going to be a cool addition.
Yeah, this sounds cool. I'm glad that they're keeping pumping out additional content this close to. I mean, the game, some places wait a long time, and it seems that they're keep upping the free DLC. So that's good.
Yeah, I love free DLC. Speaking of DLC and Little Big Planet, I did go on and buy one of the Marvel costume packs.
Yes.
But good lord, it's like $6 for five of them.
Yeah.
And if, like, let's say I want to go get Kratos or an Assassin's Creed one, they're like $2 a piece for a freaking costume. What the hell?
Because they know people will spend the money. It's sad, but people will be like, okay.
Like, no. I bought one costume pack. Yeah. I was like, which one of these? I'm only buying one. Which one of these has the one with the most characters I'm actually going to use? So I got the one that has, like, Spider-Man, Ghost Rider, Thor, Elektra. And Human Torch. Yeah.
Nice.
I mean, I really want Hulk because he would be hilarious, but yeah. I don't want to pay the $2 for just Hulk, and I don't want to pay another $6 for another five costumes that I'm not going to use that much.
Yeah, it's true. It sucks how they get you, you know.
There's like four different packs, and then there's a whole like Marvel sticker pack on top of that. If anything, I can say the good thing is that at least they've said that these costumes will carry over into Little Big Planet 2.
Oh, sweet. Nice.
I believe they've said that. I remember reading that at some point. If I'm wrong, please someone correct me. But
I don't know. He might be. I think you're right. Hopefully.
All
right.
Well, I'm going to assume because it makes me feel better about the fact that I spent $6 on friggin' video game costumes. last story this week. Geiger reteams with Scott for Alien prequel. H.R. Geiger is reportedly reteaming with Ridley Scott for the upcoming Alien prequel. That's all I got. There's really no more details beyond that.
Yeah, we'll see. I think it's going to... I'm weary of making a prequel, but with Ridley Scott involved and Geiger involved, it probably will be better, obviously better than giving it to someone completely unrelated to, you know, the universe. So
yeah. Sweet. Well, that's news. I'm not even going to take another break this episode. We've been going for so long, and I don't want to waste any more time. So right before we get into the countdown, I'm going to put it out one more time. This week's poll question: what geek out are you most looking forward to in 2011? Is it a movie? Is it a TV show? Is it Comic-Con? Is it, I don't know, anything. Anything you're going to geek out over in 2010, what are you looking forward to? Send those to podcast@thegeekgeneration.com or at Geek Generation on Twitter. Let's count down. 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay. Let me pull this article up right here because I wrote it, so I'm allowed to read off my own stuff. Like I said, I have been putting a lot of effort into writing this one friggin' article. This is like a year's worth of work right here. Hours putting this video together. I don't know how long the actual article took to write, but I don't remember. This year, I started off, and I did it last year too. I made a whole spreadsheet of the stuff that I wanted to watch. There were 97 movies on that list. Some of them were kind of give and take, like Gulliver's Travels was originally on it. I really never thought I was honestly going to get around to watching that. But out of 97, I made it through 70. I think that puts me in an okay position to put a top 10 list together.
Okay. Without a doubt.
All right. I think I have a definitive opinion here. And people have already started arguing with me, and I don't care because this is an opinion. But at the same time, I wouldn't be putting out this list if I didn't want debate. So bring it on. Number 10, The Fighter. I love The Fighter. And I've said it many times already. I was an extra during the crowd fighting scenes, some of them in the movie. And it was kind of odd to watch them and see the sequences that I had seen filmed over and over again. I also was there for some sequences that they filmed at least 8 or 9 times that never even made it into the movie. So, and one of which I would have been more prominent in, unfortunately. But I think that it was a great movie. It was a better boxing movie than Rocky, I thought. Better underdog story. I love Mark Wahlberg. I love Christian Bale. Amy Adams was on our top 10, or at least my top 10 Hollywood hotties of 2010. So this movie had like so much going for it, and this was the movie that bumped Harry Potter right off the list. Did you see it?
I have not seen it yet, but I definitely want to see it. And everyone except one person I know who did not like it, everyone has rave reviews for it. So
yeah, and plus it's local for us.
Yeah, so. Exactly. You got it.
I mean, anyone listening in another country, I'm sorry, it's not local for you, but for us in the Boston area, I'll say, because
yeah, I mean, it's
great.
It's 15 miles from my house, so yeah, it's
well, yeah, this is even more local for you than
it's for even
me.
More local for me.
Yeah, number 9, Tangled. Now, I was shocked that this movie would even be on my list, but it was so much better than I expected it to be.
I have to say, when I saw it on your list, I was like, really? But I haven't really heard one thing one way or the other, so I believe you, but I just haven't seen it, so I don't know. But I was shocked to see it on there. But
one of the best things about Tangled, and not only does it actually, like, it's hard to say, like, Pixar movies all have a certain feel to them. They have their style. Disney movies have a certain style. The newer movies have a different style compared to the classic animation as far as just like the humor they use and the tone and all that stuff. And Tangled really did feel like a mashup of all those styles, and even to the point where they were self-aware and made fun of the genre that they were a part of a little bit. So I thought it was really smart. We had said before that originally this was supposed to be just called Rapunzel and focused on the princess. And then they retooled it in 2008, changed the name, changed the focus to the male lead. And I think it was ultimately a smart idea, and it ended up being a really, really fun, really great classic feeling Disney movie.
Nice.
Yeah. I think people will like it. Number eight, the movie that was almost ruined for me, but I still, beyond the spoiler of it, I still managed to really, really freaking love Black Swan.
Oh, my God. I just saw this past weekend, and I loved it. Loved it.
What do you think about it? Like, not just loved it, but what else? What do you love?
Just, I can't picture, like, I can't say how much, how good Natalie Portman was, because, like, I don't want to give spoilers, but, I mean, she just, the way she portrayed everything in that movie was phenomenal. Like, I see an Oscar in her future. Like, it was phenomenal.
Yeah, if ever Natalie Portman was going to get the Oscar, this is it, because this is a performance-driven movie.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Yes, it's smart, but Aronofsky is very, very smart about putting the quality of the movie largely on the shoulders of the lead in it.
And, I agree.
And he's made good decisions on the people he's done that with. Like, everyone thought Mickey Rourke was a gamble when The Wrestler was coming out, and he was amazing in it. And this is almost like that same idea. Let's take an obscure area, like professional wrestling to us is not obscure, but yeah, to the mainstream, the
general public,
is.
Yeah.
And so is the world of ballet dancing. Mm-hmm. So let's take this other world that people don't see too often, which is going to be interesting. Like, some people thought the ballet part would be a turnoff, but at this point, when we're seeing the same thing over and over, like you've said, mm-hmm, it was actually really nice to get a different world to look at, and you don't think about certain aspects that go into it, and the way he breaks it down and Portman's performance, and it was just, oh, it was so friggin' good.
No, it really was. And I mean, even I got to give credit to Mila Kunis. She didn't have a huge part in it, but I mean, I don't usually, you know, really like her acting, but I mean, even she was great in this. I thought everyone in there was perfectly cast.
Right. And just on a side note, if any guys out there are hesitant to watch this movie, you know exactly where I'm going. Guys are hesitant to watch this movie with their girlfriends or anything, go, because you get to see Natalie Portman and Mila Kunis make out.
Yes.
And then some. So,
and then some.
I mean, no nudity, but it's enough. It's enough to go, and at least to get you in the theater. And then you'll watch it and you'll be like, wait, they kissed? Because this movie's awesome and I just forgot that they kissed because it was so good. But it was awesome. So good.
Yeah, I agree.
Number seven. I'm sure you've seen it. And this was, this is like, I think way back at the beginning of the year. I think March or
April.
Something.
Yeah, April.
Okay.
Yeah.
Kick-Ass. Wow. I was looking forward to it anyway, but I expected one thing and I got something better.
Did you read the comic?
I didn't.
Okay.
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
So what's your take then, seeing as you looked at both?
It's different than the comic in a way. They used a lot of the comic, but they changed certain things, sort of like Scott Pilgrim, but it's definitely more of a straight adaptation of the comic, but there's so much more in the movie, I think, that it's really visual wise and acting wise, it's a lot better in the movie than it is in the comic. But I'm sure, mm-hmm, I'm probably gonna get people that disagree with that. But I just thought it was, I wasn't giving it much thought because I had read the comic and then I saw it and I was like, wow, that's really, really good. But it's weird because a lot of people disliked this movie a hell of a lot. Like, they didn't get it. A lot of people just wasn't sure if it was a spoof or if it was supposed to be taken seriously. So it actually did fairly well at the box office, but just a lot of people critically didn't really like it.
See, and that same area where some people didn't like it, I really did. It walked the line so well between, at points you're like, okay, they're making fun of superheroes. And then the next second they would flip over to like Big Daddy and Hit Girl. And you're like, okay, wait, no, this is a superhero fantasy movie. Like, they're doing things that are beyond realistic, and that's what this movie is. But they kept going back and forth, and they did it so well that it felt natural.
Yeah, I have to say, one of my top 10 geek out moments was the whole Hit Girl scene when she's first introduced. I was like dying with laughter and awesomeness in the movie theater when this is the song they used, and it was just greatness. Like, that in the comic, you can't compare to the movie because the movie just does it with the music and it's just so much different. It's just, but I recommend reading the comic too. They actually have a sequel out now too that's following up. Yeah.
And there was a lot of controversy around this movie with Hit Girl, like going out there and killing stuff and everyone. But, I mean, watch it, people, and you will believe that a 12-year-old girl can beat the shit out of people.
She did a great, great job.
She did a fantastic job. Yeah. And the fact that they hit her, too. But you know what? In a movie or in in a Hollywood where everyone's playing it safe, it was great.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I loved Kick-Ass. It was awesome.
I agree.
Number six. A lot of people thought this should be higher on my list, but
I thought it was going to be like number two or three. I haven't even seen it, but I thought just because everyone, Toy Story 3, one of the best movies of 2010.
Yeah,
I
know Toy Story 3 was... You haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, my God. Prepare to cry.
Oh, she...
Prepare to cry.
I kind of figured that. That's kind of why I'm kind of holding off. I really don't want to, but yeah.
It is an amazing movie. It's really good, really well done. It's up... It's Pixar. It's not Cars, and it's at the caliber of all the other Pixar movies that are not Cars. So, I was listening to Dangerous Memories a little bit, and they were ragging on Cars too because they saw the trailer for Cars too, and I'm right on board with them. I mean, no Cars, but Toy Story 3 was a great way to end that particular franchise, and I hope, as much as I love the characters and love the movies that they've done with them, I really hope they leave it as is because it was done so well.
Cool.
That's all I can say without making you cry.
I'm gonna start crying already.
Oh my god. Number five, I think, is a shock to a lot of people.
Why, it was shocked to me. I didn't even remember. It was so good, but I didn't even think of it like in line of, you know, people say, well, that wasn't really a theatrical movie, but I loved it, and I think you're right on with, you know, it was definitely the best DC straight to DVD release they've done, I think.
Yeah, and Batman Under the Red Hood is what we're talking about.
Sorry.
And, no, it's all right. And for me, I mean, this is my list. You know, every like when Star Trek was my number one year, that you could probably say that some of that was bias. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Batman's probably a little higher on the list than it should have been, but I love Batman. And I'm not going to apologize for it. So
yeah, it's your list. It's your opinion. That's what I don't get is people always like try to rag on other people's top 10 lists. It's like, dude, they're your lists. Like, it's your opinion.
When I say that, it's second only to Mask of the Phantasm. Now, Mask of the Phantasm, yes, I'm a Batman fan, but Mask of the Phantasm is one of the best movies of all time.
Yes,
for
I agree.
Me, not only
you
just as
up
a
against,
Batman
you
fan,
put up
but
against live action movies.
Yes,
like, it's that good.
So to say that this is just behind Mask of the Phantasm is saying a lot for me.
Yeah.
So this was a Batman fan's like awesomeness in movie form. I mean, I don't really know how to describe it. I was very satisfied.
It's better than Batman Forever and Batman and Robin, and those are theatrical live action movies.
There you go. I mean, I don't even know if that's still saying that much.
No,
but,
it doesn't. But I was trying to think of something. But, yeah.
But it's number five on my list, so it is what it is. Number four, I already got some slack for too. And
too
I,
bad, I love that movie.
And I'll defend myself.
It.
Number four is the A-Team. Woo. Because I was looking forward. Now, we've complained about remakes and reboots
and all that stuff.
And the biggest problem with remakes and reboots is that they ruin them. Mm-hmm. If you do it right, it's okay.
Yeah, this one, you know, they played homage to the original. They had great chemistry, great story, and everything that the old show used to be, so I had absolutely no problem with it.
Yeah, they casted amazingly.
Yeah, it's like perfect.
Why can't I think of his name? Murdoch was the guy from District 9.
Oh, what's his name? I can't know who you're talking
about. I'm drawing a blank, but perfect.
Yep.
Perfect. I was like, Rampage Jackson as B.A., can this guy even act? You know what? It doesn't matter, because I don't think Mr. T can either, so that was actually better.
That was the only slight disappointment, spoiler alert, is that Mr. T refused to do any sort of a cameo, but
right,
you know
right.
what? Too bad. He missed out.
Yeah, but this movie really felt like a longer... I mean, granted, the quality and the effects are a lot better, but it felt like a longer episode of the A-Team, and that's what we wanted.
Well, you know, the best thing is, though, is there's so many people that hate this movie but love the old series. Go back and watch some of the old episodes. It was a good show for its time, but it was not exactly, you know, super intelligent, great TV. It was a good time, over-the-top action. It wasn't supposed to be like – people like, oh, you know – I'm like, what are you comparing it to? The old show wasn't exactly like high art, so.
Yeah, the A-Team was action cheese.
Yeah.
That's what it was, and that's what this is, and that's what I wanted – and it delivered, so
it
I'm happy. So it goes number four.
I agree.
Hell yeah. Number three. Now, there were three different views of this on my site. I was lucky to see this, like, a month and a half before it came out.
Yeah, for screening. That.
And Hot Tub Time Machine was friggin' hysterical. And I'm thankful that I remembered to put it on here, because I was worried that I saw it too early in the year and I was going to forget about it. But people were raving when The Hangover came out, and it was a rated R comedy. Mm-hmm. And they were like, oh my God, rated R comedy. There's swearing and raunchiness and boobs and blah, 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 blah. The Hot Tub Time Machine is way better than The Hangover was, I think. The Hangover was okay compared to Hot Tub Time Machine. I think Hangover came on my list last year at number 10. Mm-hmm. So it barely just squeaked onto my list. Hot Tub Time Machine felt like an 80s raunchy R-rated comedy. And maybe that's because part of it takes place, or the majority takes place in the 80s. But I don't even think it's that. I think it's they captured the feel of an 80s comedy movie and made a modern version. And it's awesome. They're like, I cannot remember the last time I laughed in the theater that much. It was amazing.
See, I haven't seen it. I know. I suck. I haven't seen it. But I've heard mixed. I've heard people that either love it or hate it, and there's no in-between. So I'll have to check it out. I mean, I think I'm going to like it, but I haven't. I've heard a lot of other people say that it's terrible. So I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you might not. Rob Corddry is the man in this movie. He really is. Number two. Number two, yes, should be no surprise, because I have ranted and raved about Scott Pilgrim vs. the World since this show started, and it is I'm going to watch this movie like 50 times,
yep,
this year. I guarantee it, because I cannot imagine getting sick of it. It fits our ADD generation of going
too,
boom, boom,
yeah,
boom.
It's too much awesomeness, but it's,
yeah,
so awesome.
Yeah, it just goes super quick through the awesome, and there's not a lot to say about this movie that I haven't already said.
Yeah.
It was just amazing.
See it if you haven't.
See it. I mean, video gamers, see it for that aspect. Comic book fans, see it for that aspect. Movie makers, see it for that aspect, because yeah, Edgar Wright put this thing together ingeniously.
Yeah. I've never seen anything cinematography-wise, anything like it. It's just, it's a mishmash of everything. It's awesome.
Right. So round out, and to give my number one of the year, you haven't heard it mentioned yet, and you must be waiting for it, because I think it's almost obvious that Inception had to be number one. This movie was talked about so much, and it was an internal debate with me as to whether or not Scott Pilgrim or Inception was getting the number one spot, mm-hmm, because they were that closely matched in my eyes.
I agree.
The reason Inception is number one is because Scott Pilgrim was based on prior material, mm-hmm, and it was put together that way, and it's fun, and it's a greatly composed movie, but Inception is just that extra level more. Like, it's something truly original that came right from a screenplay. There's no prior source material for this. Christopher Nolan is the director of now. Like, he's done no bad movies.
No.
The guy is awesome, and he keeps doing it. And this, like, Scott Pilgrim, when I left, I was really happy and like, wow, that was great, and da-da-da. Inception, I came out, and I was just like, whoa.
Yeah, I had the same reaction. Just like, it was so, like you said, just like groundbreaking visuals, everything. Just like, you're completely like flabbergasted when you leave the theater. It's just so epic. Like, I don't know how you can not like that movie, like, and not think it's like a masterpiece of at least this year, and of nothing that's been seen before. I'm sorry, but.
And the other thing is just that I'm not going to spoil anything, but it's open-ended enough so that we can continue to talk about it.
It makes you think.
And sometimes that is the best thing about some of these movies. A lot of people don't like movies that make them think. I do.
Yep, I do too.
And I mean, unless I'm just totally lazy and I need like Dumb and Dumber in there,
yeah.
But and I just want stupid funny. But Inception was just so well crafted, and you can try and poke holes in it, and there's enough in there where anyone could argue the reverse. Yep. And it's awesome. It's just so good. And we did debate. We did do a spoiler room debate during episode 6. Of the podcast, so if people want to go back and check that out now that more people have seen it and would like to actually know what happened with the ending, because I know I mean, you can debate, but I know. So we tell you what the ending really means, but, yeah, Inception on every level is just amazing. I can't say anything else about it. It is what it is. So yeah, that's my top 10. Before we sign off, I do have some other things too from the article. There were plenty of honorable mentions. Like I was doing a 5-star rating system. I got sick of using decimals, so I've upped it to a 10-star rating system as I started doing the audio reviews, and I've changed all the reviews on the site to reflect the new system. So any of the ones that came in the honorable mentions were all either 8 or 9 out of 10-star reviews. So I just wanted to quickly throw out some of the honorable mentions that I really wish could have been part of the list, but just fell just almost there, but didn't make it. How to Train Your Dragon was amazing. A lot of people love that movie this year, unexpectedly. Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1, like I said, was originally number 10 and got bumped. Shutter Island was a lot better than I expected. It came out way earlier in the year and missed a lot of lists because of that. People started to forget about it. She's Out of My League was really good. And if you want to chime in on any of these, feel free.
Oh, okay.
I'm going down, but if you have an opinion about any of them, feel free to toss it in there. She's Out of My League was hilarious. The Joneses, I don't know if it was even a full release, but
I don't even know what that is. I'm just gonna...
David Duchovny, Demi Moore, Amber Heard. Great movie. I recommend it. Very smart movie. Iron Man 2. While Iron Man 1 was very high on one of my lists.
This one was just, it was too rushed.
Yeah. I mean, I still loved it enough to put it in the honorable mentions because I did still enjoy it, but it was not top 10 caliber. No. Despicable Me. Really, really loved it. And again, just missed. I think that was a 9 out of 10 for me. Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time. People can rag on video game movies or that one.
Yep. I'm sorry. That's not what I have to say.
No, that's okay. Everyone's, you're entitled. But for me, this is the best video game movie ever, probably. Oh, which reminds me, the other movie my friends got me was Max Payne.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there it is. I love that movie.
You remembered.
I did. Thank God by the end of the episode. The Town was amazing. A lot of people will agree. Red. Some people have been bashing Red, but that was a really good movie.
Yeah.
Really good. And another one to top off the honorable mentions, one that people probably have not seen, and the only documentary I've listed anywhere on here, I Am Comic. Check that out. All about stand-up comedy. If you have any interest in stand-up comedy, it's all about the process of writing jokes, what it's like to be on the road. Lots of interviews from lots of famous comedians, a few that recently passed, which is really sad, but I really liked it. I also, this year, in past year, I put a list of huge letdowns. This year, I added in movies that were better, much better than I expected. These are not to say that they're in the 9 out of 10 star range, but they probably got a 7 or 8 when I expected them to be like a 2 or a 3. So I'll just throw those three out there. Much better than I expected would be Salt. I was thinking Salt was going to be a huge crap fest.
Yeah, I haven't even seen it, but it looked like a huge crap fest. But
it looked like it. But better than I expected. Love and Other Drugs.
Seriously, besides Anne Hathaway's nudity, it was good. Not a joke.
No, that was the joke with the person that I was seeing it with. It was, we were just saying titties the whole time. because she just had her shirt off like the whole movie. But aside from that, even, pretty good movie. Yeah. Better than I expected, at least. Charlie St. Cloud, way better than I expected.
Really?
Zac Efron movie.
Oh, my God. I saw the trailer and I wanted to cringe.
When I got it in the mail, it was one of those Netflix movies. Like, people might think it's fun to be a film critic, and I'll tell you right now, you have to watch a lot of crap. So, Charlie St. Cloud, when it came in through Netflix, I was like, oh, my God. But I watched it, and I enjoyed it a lot more than I thought I would. I think I actually gave it like a 7. Or a 7. Yeah, 7 or 8 out of 10. Not an 8. No way. Probably a 7. But it was better than the like 2 or 3 that I expected. So check it out. You might enjoy it. Huge letdowns.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, there were 4 movies I was really pumped for. And they just... They're horrible, horrible, horrible.
I'm going to go on a rant in a minute, but continue.
MacGruber.
Okay, fair enough.
Really excited for it. Terrible. Yeah, I was so pumped that and Todd from Dangerous Memories will disagree with me, but
yeah, he was like, "This is the funniest movie," and I'm like, "Really? It looks terrible from the previews." But
I was so pumped we were getting another R-rated SNL movie.
True.
Because they used to be good, and MacGruber was not. Jonah Hex.
Here we go. I have to go
for it.
You say your thing first.
I think you'll say everything I would want to say. Go ahead.
First of all, I don't know how you could even be like looking forward to this movie, no offense, but it from the poster to the preview stuff I've seen, obviously no one in their blue mind who made this movie ever either A, read the comic book or even knew the comic book character, B, ever directed anything of interest or written anything of interest, and C, all the actors obviously just needed a paycheck, because this was seriously the worst movie I have seen in probably 6 to 7 years. I don't even know.
Did you
know...
see Transformers 2?
Okay, yes. This was worse. I don't even know if there was a plot to this movie. It was like a 70-minute movie. It was looked like a music video. There was absolutely no characterization, no plot. It looked like someone dropped acid when they wrote this movie. It was absolutely garbage. Megan Fox was in it for all of 10 minutes when they make it look like she's in the entire movie.
Yeah.
Josh Groban, or he needs to just never ever. I don't know how they got half the people in this movie, but it is the most terrible movie I've ever seen in a long
and,
time.
And one of the biggest wasted performances of John Malkovich ever.
Thank you. How the fuck did they? Sorry, how did they get him in this movie?
How did they make him look like a horrible actor? That's talent right there.
Yeah, and let's give Jonah Hex supernatural powers that I want. It's actually worse than Catwoman. I actually will say that.
I haven't seen Catwoman.
Oh, it's bad, but I think this is worse. This actually might be worse than Batman and Robin. It's that bad to me. It just was. It made me want to punch a wall after watching it, and I'm glad I only watched it on Netflix.
I liked Batman and Robin better.
Really?
Yeah,
I agree. Yeah.
I mean, I hate what they did to Batman in that movie.
Yeah,
and
but at
I
least
still
it
like
had
Batman
sort of
and
semblance
better.
Of a plot, and you know, they knew they tried something. This I don't know what the point of this was, except to blow a shitload of money and have it come in number 6. sorry. All right, I'm done.
Another movie I was looking forward to was Legion, and because it looked really cool and epic.
The trailer did look good. The trailer looked good.
It looked epic, but then it turned out to be a stupid zombie movie.
It turned out to be an epic fail.
Absolutely. The last one most people haven't even heard of, and that's Harry Brown.
Yeah,
I saw the trailers. It was a Michael Caine vehicle. It was all him, and I love Michael Caine, and I thought the premise of him being like a former CIA agent that just he's retired and his neighborhood's getting torn up, and he just goes like Dirty Harry and kick some ass is a really cool idea, and it still is a really cool idea. I just wish they could have done it right, because it was so boring and drawn out and terrible. So Michael Caine's awesome. He was great in it, but the director killed it.
Yeah.
So. But yeah, that's my wrap-up of what is the best and, I guess, worst of 2010. Movie-wise, so... Yeah. Do you have any final comments as we get out of here, or plugs you want to throw out?
In the near future, be on the lookout for a comic-centered podcast. There'll be more information in the coming weeks, but it's pretty much probably going to happen in the near future. So.
I love it. Can't wait to add new stuff to the channel. Let's see. If you like this show, please tell your friends. Do those retweets and share that stuff on Facebook. And even as just a personal favor to me, share this top 10 list, because I put a year's worth of time into it, and I would love it if people shared it and got the debate going.
The video is great, too. I mean, the video really is good.
Yeah, my one gripe with the video is I put it on YouTube, and because of the trailers I used, even though the trailers I think you can embed anywhere, they disabled my ability to embed the HD YouTube video anywhere. So I had to embed the Facebook one, and that wouldn't play in HD. Only on the Facebook site can you watch it in HD. I put it on Dailymotion. They pulled it down. So I tried, man. I tried getting it out there, and my host isn't fast enough to load that up quick, or else I would just host it myself, because I have the bandwidth and I have the storage, but I don't think people want to wait forever to see a 5-minute video. So
still well done, though. I liked it. It was a good job.
So even just check it out in the podcast feed if that's how you want to get it. If you want to visit the site, please go to www.thegeekgeneration.com. You'll see some stories that we talked about today. Some more will be going up, articles soon based on the stuff we talked about today. The top 10 of 2010 list is up there. The video's up there. There is the donation button on the site that only G1 will use to send me money and buy Irredeemable. But there's also, if you don't want to donate, now's the time. I turn 30 in like 2 weeks, and please.
He only turns 30 once.
That's right. I only turned 30 once, so send me crap on Amazon. If you have any questions, comments, insults, or topics you'd like us to discuss on a future show, send those to podcast at thegeekgeneration.com or at geekgeneration on Twitter. If you would like to submit an article to the site, an audio file to the show, send those to guest at thegeekgeneration.com. And as always, the show theme is provided by Machine Supremacy. A link to their site can also be found on our site. So, Brian, thank you for joining me when time was short, and I know you didn't have a lot of time to prepare for this.
No problem. You always come through, man,
and I appreciate it.
No worries. It was a pleasure.
All right, we will see you all next time on The Geek Generation. Later.